Tonight, if you would turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Numbers, chapter number 32. Numbers chapter 32. And when you read the book of Numbers, it is much of it is a recap of what we've already studied in the earlier books of the Old Testament. Those first books that gives you details of what takes place, and Numbers sort of is a recap of what happens. And when we come to chapter number 32, Moses is reminding the people of Israel what took place right as they were crossing over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. There were some folks that did not want to go over and did not want to take the possession of their land on the other side of Jordan into the Promised Land. They wanted to stay where they were. And tonight is where we read concerning that. And I've got, Sharon asked me tonight, she always writes down the title. She asked me what the title was. I said, well, I got three. I don't know which one I'll use. But a lot of different things in this, these verses. And we must remember that the Promised Land is not a picture. Canaan land is not a picture of heaven. Is a picture of our daily walk with the Lord in the land of promise that He has given to us. It is a type of a victorious living for the Lord, or falling short of that and falling short of the will of God. I know we sing about Canaan, we talk about Canaan, we compare it to heaven, but really Canaan land and the promised land is the place where we go after we're saved, and we have the promises of the Lord, and we have victory there, or we have defeats. And that's exactly what took place in the life of the people of Israel. They had some victories, they had some defeats. And so thank the Lord, we realize when we get to heaven there won't be any more defeats. It'll all be victory, and it'll all be because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Israel left out from Egypt, we could go back into the book of Exodus, and you'll find that Pharaoh offered four compromises. And we're not going to go over those, but it's found in Exodus chapter 8, verse 25. The second one's Exodus 8, verse 28. Then the third compromise was Exodus chapter 10, verse 8. And then the last one before they did leave was chapter 10, verse number 24. Pharaoh told them time and time again, said, you can go and worship your God, but you got to leave part of your life back here. Pharaoh still wanted to have a control over them so they would not get too far away. He told them one time, said, you can go, but don't take your cattle. You can go worship the Lord, but you got to come back and leave your cattle. One time he says, you can go, but leave your little ones. And different things that Pharaoh used to try to get Moses to compromise what the Lord had told him to do. And so tonight we are really dealing with falling short of the perfect will of God, or living in the borderland. I entitled it First Borderland Christian. We're living right on the border. Doesn't mean we're not a Christian, doesn't mean we're not serving God, but it means we're not fully given over to Him. We're not getting the full extent of His blessings. We're living in the permissive will rather than the perfect will of God. And the Lord has both of those wills. The best place any Christian can ever be is in the perfect will of God. But most of us, many times, we live in that permissive will. We just get right up to the border, right up to the place of blessing, and then we let something else take over. So let's begin reading in chapter 32 of Numbers, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying. Now he gives the names of all these princes, and I'm not going to try to pronounce of them, each of them. But verse number 4 is what he says. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel in the land is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Therefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession. And notice these words, bring us not over Jordan. We don't want to go over Jordan. We want to stay on this side. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, say, shall your brothers go to war, and shall ye sit here? And therefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over unto the land which the Lord hath given them. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Esdraelon and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephthah the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. We'll leave off our reading there. You continue to read, you'll find that they were given permission, but they had to agree to go to battle and not stay on that side of Jordan when the rest of them went into the promised land and had to battle. And of course, we know the cities of Jericho and Ai and those many battles they had. They agreed to go to war and go to battle with them, but they wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan because it was a good place to raise cattle. There's another individual in the Old Testament that had a problem with that, and that was Lot. When he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, he said, this is a good place to raise cattle. It wasn't a very good place to raise his children, but he lost his family there simply because it was just a good place, we would call it economically, for him. And so this passage of Scripture, as we look at it, verse number 5, they said, bring us not over Jordan. Don't make us go over into the other, into the promised land. Leave us on this side because it's a good place. Now, these people were the called out people of God. They were Jews. They had made their journey 40 years in the wilderness. None of these except Joshua and Caleb had survived. The rest of them, as we read, died there in the wilderness because of their disbelief, because they said there's giants in the land. We cannot take the land. It's too great for us, too hard for us. And here, the recap of that, Moses said, and the Lord consumed them there in the land. So anyone 20 years and up did not go to the promised land. So this is the next generation, and they are the called out people of God. They've been chosen of the Lord. These are the people of Israel. These are the offsprings of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. These are those that have come through the wilderness, and they have been led by the Lord. And he showed them the place. And this is the second time that he has showed them the place. The first time is when they're at Kadesh Barnea, when they rejected the word of the Lord. And so God let them wandered those 40 years, and now they come to this crossing over one more time. And here's two tribes, and then we'll find later part of the tribe of Manasseh that wanted to stay on the other side. And so these were people that had been carefully and tenderly led of the Lord. God fed them, God watered them, God gave them drink, God gave them food, God gave them everything they needed. The scripture says the shoes on their feet did not wax old, the clothes on their back did not wear out. They had the provision of the Lord all those years. And so they were the people of God. And now they come to the border of the promised land. They've come to Jordan, and they cross over to either possess that, or they draw back and they stay as these did. The enemy Pharaoh is well behind them, and they don't even have a memory of Pharaoh. All they had was a memory of what had been told them, because the rest have died in the land as they wandered. They had the enemy Pharaoh behind them. They had the testing of the Great Sea, the Red Sea behind them. The Lord delivered them and gave them passage over into that so they could get to the promised land. The only thing now is remaining for them is their redemption, and that crisis lay before them. And of course, it's a type of conversion. And their daily walk now is before them. How are they going to walk? How are they going to do in the land of promise? And this group decided over here is better for us. And so we do not want to go and have the full possession of the promises of the Lord. So that's why I said borderland Christian. You and I, we can relate that to you and I. We know people, I'm sure all of us, know folks that we probably believe that they know the Lord, they love God, they claim to be a Christian, and we have no reason to argue the point with them, but things in their life keeps them from having the perfect will of God. Things are appealing to them from this world that keeps them from having all the good blessings that God would have for them, and they're just living on the borderland. They're just there living in the permissive will of God, falling short of the perfect will of God for their life. I think I know some folks like that. I'm sure you know some folks like that. They've just got, they're just so much involved in the things around them. It might not be good land for our cattle, but it's good things, or things that we desire, things that we want in our life, and it's on the wrong side. And so we find that many times we are tempted to compromise our ideals and our ways. And this is what I believe happened here on the border of the land of Canaan. This was the promised land. This was the land that God said to Abraham, I will give you and your people a land, and it'll be your land forever and forever. It did not depend on what they did. It was dependent upon the word of God. And so God gave them a land. And now they've come to that. And this is, as I said a moment ago, this is the second time they've come to this point. And here a few of them still want to stay and not cross over the Jordan River. So there's the people. They're standing, and they come to a point that I either go or I stay. And so they asked permission of Moses and of the Lord that they would not have to go over Jordan. And here we find that the word in verse number 11, he tells them that had those before them had not fully followed the Lord. They had not wholly committed themselves unto the Lord. And he says in verse 14, and behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead. Or what he's really saying, he said, you're just like those before. You've risen up in the place of your fathers, those that rejected the word of God, those that would turn their back upon the promise of God And so we cannot do and have the blessings of the Lord. The first time they went there into the promised land, they spied it out and found all the good things. And they come back. They came back and said, it's just like what the Lord said it was. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a land that was productive and a land that was good for them. But it was a land that had problems also. And they came back and said, we cannot possess the land. Well, God already said you can possess the land. But they came back and said, we can't do it because there's giants there. And so they looked at the statue of men and were fearful and rejected the will of God, rejected going over into the promised land. And now some 40 years later, these folks come and he says, in their stead, in the place of your fathers, you're making the same mistake. You're doing the same thing. And so the first time they saw a problem. They saw giants. They saw a battle. The second time they see good things, but it's on the wrong side. They didn't see the giants. They didn't see the obstacles. They didn't see the the cities that would be a problem, but they saw the land that would be good for them to raise their cattle and have their livelihood. So verse 14 says, you have risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. He said, you've come in the place of your fathers, the same thing. God was angry with us 40 years ago. God will be angry with us now if we don't possess the land. And so here we find they had a plan. They said, we want to stay on this side because it's a better for our cattle. The scripture says here in verse 1, they had a great multitude of cattle, and they saw the land, that it was a good place for cattle. And so their plan was, we'll go and we'll go up to the border, but that's where as far as we'll go, and we'll not get in to the promised land. And so it was for their material gain rather than their spiritual gain. I'm sure we know folks that many times give up spiritual things for personal things. They give up the best for something that's far less. They give up the best things for maybe things that are good and maybe not necessarily harmful, but they leave the best for something that's far less useful to them in their life. And so their plan was to give up the ideal Canaan. They had struggled to get there, and now their plan was, we see something that looks far better, and they planned for their material gain ahead of the will of God. They planned to put their judgment on what was best for them. This is better for us, Moses. We think this is better on this side, and forgetting all along what God said was best for them on the other side. And so they put their judgment ahead of what God had for them, and God had the desire for a godly country and that he had called them to. In short, their judgment was against the Lord. God says, this is where you need to go. And they said, we don't want to go that far. We don't want to be in that land. We want here. I've seen Christians, and I'm sure you have also, that they want to be Christian sometimes only in name, but they don't want to really get involved in the work of the Lord. They don't want to really get their hands into the work of the ministry. They want to be on the fringes. They want to be on the outside, and they don't want to serve the Lord. They wanted their possessions. They wanted their desires. They wanted what they looked for that would be better for them than what God had for them. And so tonight, these Jewish people that we can compare to modern day Christianity, they just fell short of the will of God. They fell short of doing the perfect will that God had for them. Now, there is a permissive will, and I believe that's where they find themselves. If you continue to read, you'll find that they were permitted to stay on that side, but they had to agree to fight with their brethren. We find that he tells them that they need to be ready to go, because if they did not, they'd be a hindrance to their brothers, and they'd be a hindrance and be harm to those that went over into the battle there in the promised land. God had given them a land, but it was a land that was full of battles. God gives us life eternal, and we live it here forever how many years God gives to us. But my, it's a continual battle many times. It's a continual battle with our families. It's a continual battle with our minds. It's a continual sometimes battle with our health. And so there's many wars that we must fight and must go through. But thank God we know what's on the other side. We know when we get home, all those things will be over. For John tells us in the book of the Revelation that the former things of life, they all pass away. The sorrows and the tears and the heartaches and the cemeteries and all the problems of of life, it's all gone when we get to to glory. And that's the real promised land for us. That's the real place that God has for us. And one of these days we'll get there. Right now we are living in the land of promise that as a believer, but in the land of promise is still a land of a wilderness, difficulties. And since in the last 3 or 4 months, I don't know of how many people, Christian people that I've heard, that are going through some real struggles, that are going through some real heartaches and hardships, that just a few months ago wasn't even in their thoughts. Just a few weeks ago wasn't any problem at all. And all of a sudden, the difficulties arise. But thank God we have a Lord. We have a Savior that stays by us and close to us. And doesn't matter if it's us ourselves, if it's our family, I'm glad God can give deliverance and God can give victory and God can help. Doesn't matter if it's our personal family, if it's our church family, we can have help of the Lord. But He wants us to be in the place where we can have the real provision of the Lord. Moses said there in verse 6, to the children of Gath and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and ye shall sit here? It was a grief unto Moses for them to say they didn't want to go. He said, are you going to sit on this side and watch your brothers go to battle, go to war? Are you going to sit there in your comfort and in your ease and everything be fine with you, and then you see what's taking place of those other tribes? So their actions brought grief to Moses. Their actions displeased God. Verse 10, the Lord's anger was kindled in the same time. And he was kindled there 40 years before. And Moses said, are you going to have that anger kindled against us again? And to have that because of compromise. God's not a compromising God. There's no gray area with the Lord. There may be gray area with me and gray area with you, but God is black and white. It's right, wrong, true, false, and it's just set as it is. And so they displeased Moses. They displeased the Lord. They were discouraging to their brethren. And they proved, as I read a moment ago, they proved that they were their father's son. They proved that they were just like they were 40 years before. Nothing had changed. And here he tells them that it's even increased in sin. And so we find here that this group that lived just on the border, they never did experience all the good things of the Lord. You can read it time and time again. They stopped short of complete victory. They stopped short of going into the land of promise. And they did go to battle. They did go to war with their brethren. But they cut themselves off from the fellowship of those that were on the other side. They cut themselves off from the blessings and the service complete of the Lord. They separated themselves, and they separated themselves from the anointed leader that was given to them, that being Moses. In the next few verses, I'm not going to try to read all those, but you'll find that they came to I guess we would call it a compromise. Moses said, you're going to watch your brothers go to war, and they said, we'll go to war with them. We'll take up our place. He says in verse number 17, but we ourselves will go ready armed for the children of Israel until we have brought unto their place our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. So they, I guess, came to what we would consider to be a compromise. They fought the battle, and they continued to do as the rest of the people of Israel, but they did not go completely in to the promised land of the Lord. They lived on the border. They lived right on the line. And they experienced many times the blessings of God, but they did not experience all of them because of their inability to follow the complete direction of the Lord. And you and I fall sometimes in that same position. I've found myself there many, many times that if I'd just done exactly what God said, things would have been much better. Still blesses, still honors, but don't have the complete victory. Don't have the complete peace of mind and peace of heart of the will of the Lord. May God help us tonight to do the will of God when we find it. Not just settle for second best, not just settle for border, but to go all the way in to the promised land and fight the battles, and come what may, difficulties of life, difficulties of health and strength, but thank God in the end He gives the victory. So may the Lord help us to not be borderland Christians, but help us to live in the perfect will of God, not just His permissive will. Let's stand together tonight.